Listen, I did film and television studies at university for 3 years. I spent hours reading countless books and articles on subjects spanning from film all the way to television. Not a single one mentioned Hugh Grant once.
I achieved the hardest qualification across any university or college ever, a 2-1 in history. Let me tell you, the only thing that I learned was that we, as a society, have a history of denying and neglecting Hugh Grant's artistic and cultural relevance, not just in this country, but in the entire world.
I met Oscar at a Hugh Grant-themed event I put on at the Students' Union.
It felt as though Digory and I were the only ones there, and we agreed that there was a Hugh Grant-shaped hole in academia.
We decided to put it right ourselves. We want to show people that he's an icon in acting.
We want to show people he's more than just a bumbling posh guy.
I'm Digory Waite.
And I'm Oscar Beardmore Gray.
And this is...
Taking Hugh for Granted.
Hello and welcome to Taking Hugh for Granted, the podcast in which two Hugh Grant enthusiasts watch every single film starring Hugh Grant in the attempt to answer the simple question, is this film Taking Hugh for Granted? Is this film good on its own or does it rely on the bumbling Brit for its acclaim? I'm Digory Waite and I'm joined as ever by my colleague and fellow Hugh Grant obsessive Oscar Beardmore Gray. Oscar, how the bloody hell are you doing today, mate?
I'm doing great, Diggs. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay, man. I'm doing okay. I'm off the back of 2 holidays in 1 week.
How do you even manage that? When you told me that, I was like, I thought you were, where were you?
On a Monday, me and a good friend of ours, Nick, we went to Leeds, which everyone
holiday
keeps telling
that I went. Seriously.
Exactly. Like our international listeners won't realize, everyone that I say, oh yeah, I went to holiday to Leeds, they're always like, what? Leeds is just a city in the north. There's nothing particularly, well, to most people, there's nothing particularly special about it. It's very special in my heart now. And yeah, it was action packed. We did a big walk. We went out on a night out to this club where this band were playing. So we were like, we want to go on a night out. And I broke my glasses in a mosh pit, which sounds quite, it sounds quite cool. Being in a mosh pit, you're like, sick. And then you're like, but I broke my glasses. And it's like, oh, that's not as cool anymore. Back on Thursday, off on Friday to Hungary, to Budapest, drinking.
Did you do the outdoor baths?
We did indeed. Yeah, yeah. Because we've been to those, haven't we? Of course.
Yeah, we have.
We went to those. And you know, there's a huge indoor bit that we just didn't really go to.
Oh, okay.
There's like 16, 17 more baths in there, all of varying temperatures, and saunas, which all had varying temperatures as well. And I've never properly been in a sauna before. And boy, oh boy, are those bad boys hot. Oh.
I have to say, Diggs, when we went to those baths, and they're sort of one of the most famous attractions in Budapest, I just have two abiding memories, and I'm sure you...
Yes, I know what you're going to say, yeah.
And they're both quite disturbing.
Yeah, one in particular.
Well, one of them was... Well, I don't know where... I don't know if I can even... This is a bit... It's not even very PG, but one of them was that there were two people having sex in the baths.
There were.
Which was really weird in front of everyone.
And let me just interject, if I can, just quickly. This time around, people were equally as horny. It's just a very horny place. And if people don't understand what the baths are, they're hot. It's like a big hot swimming pool outdoors. And there are and people naturally... They feel a bit sexy. But when we went, me and you, Oscar, you're right. There was two people actually having sex, not just being a bit, you know, heavy petting. They're actually having sex. Not cool. And your second point, perhaps...
Yeah, the second point was more disturbing.
Yes.
Where a French woman was accusing someone in the baths of basically touching up her kid and was like hysterically screaming, and everyone was like, what the fuck is going on here?
In fact, all of that, I have to say, came rushing back. As soon as we got into the bars, I was like, oh yes, this place, which is harrowing in my memory. But luckily I've replaced it with a few more memories now. My favorite memory being sitting in a sauna with lots of men and just shushing everyone that came in. And it's just, I haven't heard a shush for such a long time, you know, like a serious shush. Like, I haven't witnessed a shushing since probably I was a child. But every time someone made any noise in the sauna, someone would go, shh, shh. And it was just, I don't know, there's something so authoritative about a shush. Yeah.
Well, I'm very glad that you've made better memories, because that does seem like quite a sort of, for me anyway, at 8:50 in the morning.
Oh yeah, of course.
Those memories flushing back of the Budapest baths. Perhaps we should segue there to talk about what, not the film we're talking about today.
No.
Although we'll treat it like a film.
Of course.
But a seminal moment in Hugh Grant's career, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and This is huge. I mean, people might have heard of the phone hacking scandal or the British sort of quote-unquote tabloid scandal, which obviously Hugh Grant is extremely tied in with. He's constantly on Twitter retweeting Byline investigates. He's constantly talking about it. And I think definitely internationalists can correct me if I'm wrong. However, they may just know that he's something's going on with him in the press. And they might not know exactly what it is. But this is a testimony he gave in 2011 to this big thing called the Leveson Inquiry, which I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit later. But before that, should we have a synopsis from Synopsis Simon?
Let's do it.
Hugh Grant's testimony, conducted by Lord Justice Leveson and made available for public viewing on the 21st of November 2011. In Britain in 2011, Lord Justice Leveson was appointed to investigate the role of the press and police in the phone hacking scandal surrounding the defunct British newspaper News of the World. After providing two statements on the corruption and wrongdoings of the British press against himself, Hugh Grant gives his personal testimony to the inquiry.
Right, so another wonderful synopsis from Synopsis Simon of our film today. And it is a film. But Oscar, what the shit is the Leveson Inquiry?
So I'll do my best to answer it. The Leveson Inquiry was an inquiry called by David Cameron, the Prime Minister, in 2011 as a result of some seriously questionable antics from particularly the tabloid press in the UK. It sort of came off the back, really, of, in particular, a case involving a young schoolgirl called Millie Dowler, who died, very sadly. And it sort of came about that her phone had been hacked by some tabloid journalists. So when we say phone being hacked, I guess now it's not perhaps as easy, or you don't use voicemail as much. But back then, you could like hack into someone's voicemail and then get, you know, a scoop or a story or whatever, or, you know, find out information. So this Millie Dowler story was a huge story in the press, and the journalists used a very unethical tactic of hacking her phone. And then this all came to light, and David Cameron said, we got a holding inquiry about this. And as a result, everyone kind of knew that the tabloid press was doing shady stuff. You know, the paparazzi had always been in celebrities' faces. If you've ever picked up a tabloid paper in the UK, you know there's all kind of scandalous, gossipy stories that you sort of wonder, how did you get this story? Or like a source told us or whatever, like that kind of thing. So they had this big public inquiry in 2011, so about 10 years ago, where all manner of celebrities, public figures, members of parliament, members of the police force came and gave testimony. And one of those people who was called was our man Hugh Grant. And as you mentioned, has been a big advocate for this particular issue, given that his own phone, he believes, was hacked several times over quite a consistent period. And his testimony is really interesting and quite shocking at points.
Yeah, that's the thing. He wrote this a statement. I think he maybe even wrote two statements. One thing I just thought about the statements, I was like, Hugh Grant is a cracking writer. Like, when you think about like a statement for some inquiry or whatever, you're just like, oh, this is going to be so boring. But he keeps the jokes in there. He keeps it charming. He almost even has a bumble. He's like, I'd like to make a statement, if I may. And it's just like, even then, it's like the first thing he does is so Hugh Grant. But also it is very compelling in a way. And he outlines all these cases in which the press, through some crazy ways, have got information about him that they shouldn't have done.
What stuck out to you from his two-hour statement that he gave to this inquiry?
There's all sorts of stuff. I mean, maybe there's another bit of context I want to give about this, is because Hugh Grant is obviously fervently pro-press, because the press holds, you know, people to account, basically. Like, journalists do good things. However, he wants to regulate it because a lot of them do bad things, like we spoke about with the Millie Dowler story. But people think he doesn't like the press because of the way they treated him in the wake of his run-in with the sex worker in 1995 in LA, because he got obviously a huge press storm after that. But that isn't what that's about. As he says in his statement,
I was arrested, it was on public record. I totally expected there to be tons of press, a press storm. That happened. and I have no quarrel with it.
Some people, like the French, were amazed at the sheer scale of the hullabaloo about a man having sex, but on the whole, it was to be expected. So as he says, he's not annoyed about the press because they hounded him because of that, because he was like, listen, I did a crime, I was caught for it, it's in the public record, whatever. But it is things which are shadier. So in the ensuing press of that, a burglar broke into his house, into his flat. Hugh Grant comes home, realises his flat's been broken into, but nothing's been taken. Then Hugh Grant calls the police, who come around the next day. They take a statement from him. The day after that, there's this detailed account of what the inside of Hugh Grant's flat looks like in a newspaper. And so Hugh Grant, quite rightly, understandingly, thinks, so has someone broken into my flat, which, by the way, is up a flight of stairs and really weird. Four flights of stairs. It's a weird place for a burglar to go in for. And the people knew where he lived at this point, because obviously, like, paparazzi were outside his house all day. Did a burglar break in, or a paparazzi member just break in to try and see what his flat looked like? Or, even worse, did they break in, then the police were called, and the police had a good look at what everything looked like, and then they gave it away? Things like that are things where these are shady means by which people get this information, and it doesn't seem like coincidence.
Yeah, I mean, one of the other things that stood out to me, the other stories that stood out to me, was the story about his relationship with one of his girlfriends being on the rocks, because he had a girlfriend in Los Angeles who he hadn't admitted to. And then he sort of was racking his brains as how this was reported in the press with absolutely no sort of evidence whatsoever. And then he thought, oh, okay, I actually take phone calls from assistant from one of the big sort of, you know, Warner Bros. I think it was Warner Bros. In Los Angeles, who has a sort of plummy voice. And she sometimes left voicemail saying, can you ring me back or whatever? And so he put two and two together and thought the only way that they could have possibly got this information was from hacking his voicemails.
Exactly. They will hack the voicemails, hear this plummy woman who apparently he had quite a jovial, whimsical relationship with. So she would maybe say some funny little jokes and they'd be very charming, but she would be like, can you call back because, let's say, Warner Bros want to speak to you. And this person's heard this on the voicemail and thinks, oh, that sounds like a young plummy woman who he has a personal relationship with, and she wants them to call him back. Brilliant, we've got a story. And it's really naughty. And the way that they did this is, I believe, so your phone, you know, you need to change the passcode on the voicemails. And most people don't do that. And so the voicemail passcode is usually just 00000. And so that's how they got into people's phones. And, you know, I know it's a side point, but this is why it's so bad about Millie Dowler is Millie Dowler went missing. They couldn't find her for a while. The people hacked into Millie Dowler's voicemails, whose her parents kept leaving her voicemails. So it clogged up the account because they wanted to hear her voice, all that sort of stuff. And they kept calling her, obviously. The people hacked into Millie Dowler's phone and they deleted the voicemails to make more room just in case anything else came through or they could get any more information. And obviously the parents find this out and they think, oh my God, she's deleting voicemails. She's alive. That's the sort of horrible stuff we're talking about here. And it clearly, they've done the same thing to Hugh Grant. Pressed the four zeros. They've got into his account, heard this plummy woman. They go, brilliant, we've got a story here. It's awful.
Yeah, I mean, I think for most people, when he makes this point that...
It is a commonly voiced opinion that you cannot in any way regulate or improve or legislate or for the worst practices of the worst of journalists in this country without damaging free speech, without muzzling proper journalism. And the metaphor that is endlessly bandied about is you be careful of throwing a baby out with the bathwater. And I have always said that I don't think that it is that difficult to tell the difference between what is bathwater and what is a baby. To most people, it's bloody obvious. And that I have always thought that you just simply take the baby, which in this case is excellent journalism, we're lucky to have some of the best in the world in this country, out of the bath, and let the bathwater run out.
Okay.
Everyone says, oh, it's a very difficult distinction to make, what's good journalism and what's not. And although I don't say it's black and white, there's a grey area, I think it's a lot less grey than people make it out to be.
There is a grey area, but, you know, hacking into someone's phone is clearly an invasion of privacy.
Yeah.
And is, you know, you'd never be taught to do that. And clearly at some point along the line with these tabloid papers, it was like a cultural thing, wasn't it? It became accepted that that was okay. And once you make something okay and everyone else is doing it, you just think it's all right. And unfortunately, that was the whole point they got to with particular newspapers like the News of the World. And subsequently, from this big scandal, the News of the World was the biggest, it was the biggest tabloid paper in the UK, got shut down as a result.
Yeah, exactly. So that was one good thing to come of it. But I'm sure that Hugh Grant and his friends would agree that nothing really has changed. And it's all basically the same.
Yeah, I mean, one interesting thing is, I mean, what was the result of the inquiry?
I have no idea. In my head, did they just be like, oh, self-regulate yourselves again?
Well, kind of. Basically, David Cameron was given the results of the inquiry. There were two stages to it. He said that he wasn't going to take the advice of the inquiry, which was to set up an independent regulator. So at the moment in the UK, there's the Press Complaints Commission, the PCC, which is meant to be a regulator, but it's sort of imperfect in many ways. And the suggestion from the Leveson inquiry was to create an independent regulator. The government decided not to take that up. And then there was meant to be a second part of the inquiry, but that was dropped in 2018, I believe. So effectively, not a great deal has happened, apart from, I guess you could say that the spotlight was put on this. So I don't think you could, you know, I think it's fair to say that there might be more questions if you come with information. It's like, where the hell did you get that from? So you hope that at least within journalism, the ethics have improved. But in terms of actual kind of legislative action, there hasn't been any.
Somehow, I fear they don't. In fact, with all this misinformation going around, I fear it's, yeah, just stayed exactly the same, which is unfortunate.
Well, I mean, we pick up today even on, I mean, this is a conversation for a different podcast, but, you know, Meghan Markle just won her libel case against the Mail on Sunday. And, you know, the press has hounded her and Prince Harry, you know, the culture of kind of the ferocity of which they go after people hasn't necessarily changed. It might just be the tactics are slightly different.
Well, you're listening to Hugh Grant taking Hugh for granted on the radio. Hugh Grant taking Hugh for granted. Oh, the podcast show.
In terms of the actual film itself, or what we've watched, what do you think about Hugh Grant's character? What do you think about Hugh Grant's look? What did you make of what we watched and the different characters and stuff within it?
Well, it's interesting, Diggs. I think for many people, this would have been the first time that people would have seen Hugh Grant outside of him on screen, because as he admits actually in this inquiry that, you know, he doesn't really give many press interviews. Like, I guess he does appear on Graham Norton and stuff, but talking about like serious stuff, I think he really gives a fantastic account of himself. He comes across as intelligent, articulate, thoughtful, and he's clearly put a lot of thought into this statement. And you feel a certain amount of sympathy for him. I mean, again, there are parts of the celebrity life that you have to deal with. Like he says, if you do something bad, you got to expect the press storm. But things like, for example, when his daughter was born and he thought he wouldn't go to the hospital because he was wary of the fact that press would be there. And, you know, he basically alleged that someone at the hospital was on a retainer to basically kind of say if a celebrity came in and then a cameraman would show up. Like, that kind of thing is just sort of unacceptable. So
it's crazy, that story, because he agrees not to go to see the birth of his child, who he is genuinely excited about, and he's good friends with the mother and all that sort of thing. And he can't do it. He can't stay away. So he does go. And ultimately, in his words, he says he's being a bad father, because it did then eventually bring this storm down, because he believes someone at the hospital then was like, oh, Hugh Grant's here. This woman's here. they're having a baby together, we'll tell everyone. So he couldn't even be there for the birth of his own child, because even though he did go briefly, but then it was even worse as a result, because then it's like, oh, Hugh Grant turns up only for half an hour and he's had this whole thing going on and it's all been a secret. It's a genuine nightmare.
What did you think, though, of Hugh?
I thought Hugh, like you said, gave such a good account of himself, because it's the kind of thing where he as I said in his statement as well, but in this testimony, he is funny, he is charming, but also he is serious and he is sincere. And this is the thing, is the villain of the piece, Robert J., the bastard who is interviewing him, so Hugh Grant's in his statement, and this is basically a testimony just to make sure, I don't know, I guess just to sound it out. It feels like this guy, Robert J., is grilling him on what he's written, right? Mm. And trying to make sure everything that he said in his statement is fact. This is what pisses me off, though, about it, and this is why he is a fucking villain, is because there is a piece of press in Germany where Hugh Grant has been photographed, I think, out for dinner with some girl. And Hugh, you know, they've said Hugh Grant's girlfriend, like new girlfriend, even though he's got a kid at home, he's got this new girlfriend. And our interviewer and the villain, Robert J., is like,
she's not described as your girlfriend, is she?
Well, I don't know. I mean, to me, the headline, Hugh and new girl 3 weeks before baby, suggests girlfriend, but maybe I'm reading a different language.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to be fair to the authors of this piece, Mr. Grant. It's for others to make a judgment about it.
You've been very, very fair to News International and to Associated today.
But I've been fair to everybody.
You told me backstage you were going to bowl me straight balls.
Yes.
Okay. But if these are straight balls, I'd hate to see your googlies.
Well, let me continue to bowl you straight balls.
It's just this horrible nitpicking. And I think Hugh does a really good job of not only defending against that, but also then sometimes going on the offensive and asking them questions and stuff, which I really do rate. So honestly, I think it's actually really, as a Hugh Grant fan, it's nice not to just like him in his films, but actually him as a bloke as well.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Robert J. he's doing his job, but he certainly is showing kind of his lawyer side, isn't he? And I mean, you know, all these tabloids, I'm sure, had, you know, they had media lawyers, and lawyers, that is that kind of tactic. You don't say girlfriend, so they can't sue you for libel.
Exactly. It's all these shady tactics.
So, but I do agree that I love the way that Hugh stood up for himself, you know, counter-argued a lot of the points being made. And, you know, not an easy thing. I would have been nervous as hell, like, talking about this stuff. And
yeah,
you know, he at no point did I think you're making a bad point, or like,
yeah,
what you're saying doesn't quite make sense. Like, while there were some, I guess, elements of his testimony which were bordering on like assumptions or strong opinions rather than actual fact, you could argue, or like assertions, definitely. You know, he said them with conviction, and he had circumstantial evidence to back up his points. So I think everything that he would have said would have been taken very seriously by George, Lord Leveson, he's a bit of a bull. He comes across a bit of a bull.
Yeah, mate, I'm not gonna lie.
He's pretty cool. He's just like, so, Mr. Grant, I just wanted to make sure that I've heard this correctly.
yeah, exactly. It's so good. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Lord Justice Brian Leveson seems like a bit of a legend, and he sort of plays this sort of mediator role. And every now and then, when shit gets a bit heated between our hero and villain, he'll come in and just clarify things. And also, he's very courteous to Mr. Grant, especially in his opening statement. You know, they're about to kick off, and Leveson's like,
"Mr. Grant, I'm very grateful to you for coming. During the course of the afternoon, we're likely to have a break, but if at any stage you feel that you want just a few minutes off, you don't have to say cut. It's sufficient if you indicate it, and I'll be pleased to accord you that time."
Thank you very much.
And I was like, wonderful. He's like, you could just say, let's have a break and we'll stop for a bit. You know, all of that stuff. He just seems like...
That's great banter.
It's great banter. It really is.
Look out the window. Look out the window. Look out the window. It's Hugh Grant in a Pret.
One of the points that Hugh makes as well, which is interesting, is that the press was so powerful in the early 2000s, late 90s, when he was coming up, that another sort of cultural problem was that a lot of people didn't have the means or the will to sort of fight back a little bit or push back against this. And I think Hugh was sort of saying, look, if I stood up and said anything or didn't, you know, the fact that I didn't give any interviews meant that they came at him even harder because they kind of viewed him as, you know, well, he's not going to cooperate. He's not going to give us a story. His press people won't talk to us, blah, blah, blah. So we'll just make up stories about him, basically. And, you know, it's shocking stuff. And as a sort of journalist myself, it makes me never want to work for the tabloids.
yeah, exactly. Because you just wonder what they're doing now.
Well, the problem is now, which I was going to get into, is that they don't have any money. So it is all just complete rubbish that they publish. But it always has been. So
yeah. So you reckon it's getting worse? Because now no one buys newspapers because we can see everything online. So now is it getting worse?
Well, I don't know if it's getting worse. It's just I feel like everything is very clickbaity now.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
You know, the Mail Online is basically questions about what bikini someone's wearing or that kind of thing, you know. I mean, and to be fair, I feel like we are, because of like the kind of Instagram world we live in, I feel like people have a right to know about what everyone's doing the whole time.
Yeah,
but also we're in a weird world now, and now we're getting down a rabbit hole, but which I think is interesting, is that before, a celebrity like Hugh Grant couldn't set his own record to some degree. Whereas now, a lot of celebrities have their own means to set their own agenda, which I think really pisses off tabloid journalists. Because, you know, Hugh Grant back then in the 90s, he doesn't have an Instagram account. He has one publicist. He might do an interview every now and again. But effectively, his public record is being determined by what's written about him in the newspaper. Whereas now, if I'm, I don't know, like Dua Lipa or whatever, I can post on Instagram about what's happening in my life and the press reports on what I write on Instagram. And I have the platform to write on my Twitter or on my Instagram or do a video live stream and say, this is bullshit. Don't believe it. So we're in a very different world now, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And what is also delightful is when celebrities who have been caught out then try to use their platform and just dig themselves even deeper into the hole. That is also very fun to watch. So
yeah,
you know, but then both sides of the coin.
But then also we're in a world of far deeper and worse misinformation, you could argue.
Yeah, so yeah, definitely.
People are even more likely now to read something and believe it than they might have been 20 years ago.
Yeah. And these aren't even newspapers they're reading. They are just reading random pages on Facebook.
Yeah, or some subreddit.
Yeah. Well, don't call me out.
Taking you for granted. Taking you for granted. Taking you for granted. What did you think, lads? Were they taking you for granted?
Diggs, it's been a pleasure talking to you about a more serious subject than...
Yeah.
You know, this is hard-hitting stuff.
It almost feels like a proper podcast, do you know what I mean? Like, it feels like it's like This American Life or something like serious.
Yeah, I know. We should make some serious transitions or something. But
yeah.
Anyway, Diggs, the Leveson inquiry, are we taking you for granted?
Listen, my man Robert J is taking you for granted. He is a heathen, he is a slanderer, and he is a vixen. However, absolutely not. Hugh Grant obviously gets the starring role in this piece, and he's in it throughout. As I say, charming, bumbling. Oh, we didn't mention as well, they have these little booklets so everyone can like refer to those pages and stuff, and he keeps just being like, I'm totally lost on this page, and they have to keep giving him pages, which, to be fair, I feel like I'd do the same, but it's so Hugh Grant. But also, you know, he talks so much in this about how when he's like suing back some of these people who've completely libeled him or whatever, he's like, I don't want the money. I don't want people to think about his money. So he tries to get them to pay, you know, charities and stuff. It just reminds me of the genuinely, I think, charitable, wonderful man we have beneath this beautiful, beautiful exterior. And this is just a reminder of that. And it's a wonderful piece that I would recommend everyone watches as a result. It is boring. It is a man talking to another man for 2 hours. But It's wonderful. It has not been taking Hugh for granted. What do you think?
Well, of course, we're not taking Hugh for granted here. It's upsetting watching this because it makes me think that we're far more unlikely to get Hugh to come on the podcast because he hates the press.
It's so true, yeah.
Because he clearly talks about how much he distrusts the press. Although, obviously, we are going to give him good press. But it is, you know, he said he only given one or two interviews in his entire lifetime, effectively. So anyway, we are going to try and get on the press junket for his next film. We should say that is the one thing. In terms of how he comes across and whether we've been taking him for granted, you hit the nail on the head. We're not taking him for granted. It gives us a different side to him that perhaps you haven't seen because, like I said before, when we do see Hugh Grant as Hugh Grant, it's often in a kind of one-liners on things like the Graham Norton Show. And he's relaxed and he's just kind of joking around. But here is like serious testimony under oath for 2 hours. Mm. And it's really, you know, it's just great to see. And I would actually say, Diggs, as well, that you said it was a boring conversation between two people. It is far, I would argue, more interesting than quite a few of his films. So
that is so true.
I would actually, if you're a big Hugh Grant fan, as we all are here,
yeah,
I'd go in, at least give it I think the first sort of 45 minutes is all you need, really, or even half an hour. So I'd give it a watch. And, you know, Hugh's also done some other interviews here and there, and he's still campaigning against this stuff. And if you follow him on Twitter, you'll know all about that. So overall, yes, Diggs, we can't be taking you for granted. And I'm really glad that we got to do this one. And it's something we've been planning for a while.
Exactly, yeah. And I think something that I wanted to underline what you said as well is like, we see a different side to Hugh Grant. He's still charming. He's still wonderful. We see a humility to him, but he is under pressure and he is fighting back. He's strong in his convictions. It's just a Hugh Grant that is wonderful to see. Those are the words you're using. It's absolutely true. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much as ever for listening. If you want to keep abreast of our future episodes, of which, you know, we've got one film left to review, but we don't want it to end. So we are going to drag this bad boy out as long as we can. We are going to milk the big Hugh Grant cow. And there's plenty of milk to go around. So if you want to be kept abreast of all that, follow us on Instagram at Taking Hugh for Granted. Facebook, the same. Twitter, we're at Taking Hugh. And you'll be kept abreast of everything we've got going on there. Otherwise, Oscar, thank you so much for watching this with me. It's been wonderful to discuss it. And we'll see you all next time.
Eat.
Bye.
Taking Hugh for Granted is produced, edited, and presented by Diggory Waite and Oscar Beardmore Gray. The producers of Taking Hugh for Granted would like to state that this podcast is in no way associated with the actor Hugh John Mungo Grant, nor does it endorse his views or represent him in any way. Instead, by creating this podcast, Oscar and Diggory hope to celebrate Hugh's illustrious career, reliving his old classics and shedding light on some of his hidden gems. Hugh, if you're listening, we hope you approve.